Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the house. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
Hard living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, your outdoor living hour here at Rosie on the house. Fourth Saturday of the month, so we've got Farmer Greg talking urban farming. And we've got a great topic today on harvesting and preserving. If you've been following along month after month with your urban farming talking points, you've got a pretty nice little setup going, and you've got fruits of your labor starting to produce off your trees and your plants. And we're going to talk about preserving them, because a lot of these plants, they bring produce a lot faster than we can eat them in real time. And Farmer Greg's got a lot of way to stretch that that harvest out, so you get it doesn't just become bird food,
right? Yeah, well, and you know, right now we're experiencing dozens and dozens of pounds of mulberries off of our dwarf black mulberry trees, and you know, it gets overwhelming. Here in the next week, we will be harvesting thousands of them. They're amazing, but what do you do with them all? So I always reach out to my friend Kari Spencer from the Microfarm Project and say, "Hey, Kari, what do we do with these?" Hello, Kari.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Romy. How are you doing?
Very well. Thanks for spending Saturday morning with us.
My pleasure.
So canning is one thing we can do with this. So we'll spend the first segment talking about canning. And what is canning? It's really jarring, isn't it, Kari?
That's right. In glass jars. We're not industrial here with metal cans. It's all done in reusable glass jars.
You gotta love it. And there's two types.
There is pressure canning and there's water bath canning.
What's the difference and why do we need them?
Well, water bath canning is the easier of the two. Well, they're both really easy, but you don't need expensive equipment for water bath canning. You just need a big pot and your jars and hot boiling water. And we do water bath canning with items that are high in acid. On the other hand, if you have produce that's low in acid, like maybe you want to can some green beans, then you might need a pressure canner. And pressure canners are a bit more expensive than water bath canners, but they do preserve low acid foods safely.
And what is it about low acid foods when you say it preserves it safely? If you did a high acid food in a pressure cooker, is that unsafe?
Oh, no. You can can anything in a pressure canner, but you do need it for low acid foods because botulism can grow in a low acid environment and even in your canning jars. And you cannot get them hot enough to do that in a water bath canner. You've got to have a pressure canner to kill that botulism spore.
So what it looks like is a water bath canner is just a pan on the stove that you heat up and you put the jars in.
Yeah, it looks like a big tamale pot. You know, it's just a nice big pot that you can put your jars in.
I have a 100-quart pot we boil crawfish in, and it has a basket that you bring out and all your crawfish and potatoes and corn and onions and goodies are in that can. Well, I just put all the cans inside that basket and drop the basket and the crawfish, big old 100-quart crawfish, and I can do on the large ones two rows of 12, so you can do 24 at once.
Wow. That's a lot.
I don't always have that much food to do at once. But you could.
Right? Yeah, wow. And then the pressure canner, actually, it creates pressure, so it gets hotter?
Yes, it gets hotter, and it also, the pressure gets the air out of the jars. Mm. Botulism can grow in a low-oxygen environment, but if you get it just creates a better seal. than a water bath can or can.
Now, forgive my ignorance. When it comes to medical terms and diseases, I'm not very good. What is botulism, and how would I know if I had that when I opened up a jarred can of peaches a 2 years later?
Well, that's the thing, Romy. It's really hard to tell because it doesn't really give off an odor. It doesn't bubble like some other toxins do inside a jar. So it is really hard to tell. So you've got to be really safe when you're canning low acid foods so that you don't end up with that problem, because you may not know it until you eat that that produce, right? But if you have canned it in clean, sterile jars and you've used your pressure canner, then the risk is very, very low.
I've been canning since high school, so I've been canning for 40 years, and I've never had a problem. And I generally use my pressure canner for everything. I figure if I've got a pressure canner, I might as well just use it.
Yeah, you might as well. And we've never had a problem either. As long as you follow the guidelines, you're good. But that botulism spore can make you very sick if you're not careful. So you want to make sure that you're following current USDA guidelines.
So let's say I've got a pressure cooker. How do I operate it? What are those guidelines?
In the pressure cooker, generally, if you're canning something, you want to look for directions that will tell you what temperature and how long that you need to process your jars, depending on what it is that you are preserving. And those guidelines are very easy to get from the USDA. They have all kinds of reference information about home canning, and also the National Center for Home Food Preservation. They have lots of free recipes online and charts that can tell you what temperature and how long to preserve the different foods that you can preserve. Yes.
So that's the National Center for Home Food Preservation, and that's at nchfp.uga.edu.
Of yes. course it is. We'll make sure we get that link in the archive page to make that
exactly
easy for folks to find. What's in season right now? This is a great time for a good harvest for canning.
Well, I am not doing anything right at this very moment, but I am looking forward to tomatoes very, very soon, and stone fruits are coming up pretty soon.
Apples. Yeah, yeah, apples are coming up soon.
Mulberries. Oh, and apples. Apples are great to can because you can make applesauce, you can make apple pie filling, all kinds of things that you can do with apples.
Yeah, apple butter, apple cider. Yeah, there's so much to do with that. And through our fruit tree program at the Urban Farm, we've nurtured the conversation around which apples to grow here. And we've got the Anna and the Dorset Golden Apples, and they are monster producers. I have one in my backyard that produces easily 300 pounds of apples a year.
That's a lot of apples. Like, 300 pounds.
300 pounds. And when you get it, it's like when you get that much, it's like, what do you do with it all? You have to be prepped. And that's why I love bringing Kari into this conversation, because she really gets us thinking about, all right, in 45 days, that apple tree is going to have 300 pounds of apples on it. What am I going to do with them all?
Yeah, I mean, you want to have something prepared in advance. Right? You want to know what you're going to do with all those apples, and you have the equipment, have the recipes. And the great thing about canning is that you don't need to have any refrigeration to store canned foods. Right? So you can store those on a shelf, under a bed, you know, any nook and cranny that you can can find to put your jars in, and you don't need to refrigerate them.
So let's talk about the process, because we've been talking about canning, but how do we process what goes in the jars? It's really just making up a recipe or following a recipe, right, Kari?
Sure. Yeah, it is. It's very easy. And there are all kinds of recipes. I really like to use old recipes, like from vintage cookbooks, because there are some really interesting recipes in those old cookbooks. But you want to make sure that you're looking at the directions and you're comparing them to the current guidelines from the USDA, just to make sure that it's safe, because some of those old cookbooks are not updated with the latest information. But like I mentioned, the National Center for Home Food Preservation has lots of recipes. There are lots of food preservation cookbooks that you can find, all sorts of recipes, and it's really fun to play around with those recipes. And if you can bake a cake, you can preserve food. Just got to follow directions.
Yeah, pick your favorite recipe, make it, put that in the jars. That's when you can it.
And you had said you don't have to refrigerate it, but this isn't anything you want to put in an air-conditioned garage, right?
Well, theoretically, if it gets too hot in that garage, they could explode, yes, but it would have to get pretty hot.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to test that someday. Just, you know, for reference, Gary, right?
Exactly.
Right. Just for the consumer education, with Rosie on the House, we have Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm and Kari Spencer of the Micro Farm Project talking about preserving the harvest.